Good evening, Ryan Riccio, tax assessor. And basically, the budget's pretty straightforward as far as I can tell. Most of the items on here are statutory items. You'll see the biggest, the biggest item on my budget is for the legal services for tax appeals, which is for Rick Conley.
Are you expecting a lot of them this year?
Well, so far...
How's the trend?
So far, so good. We have one appeal, but we do have six pending state tax court appeals from last year. So he's ongoing, continuing to work with those. The budget has stayed the same for that, that appropriation, I guess it's called, from 2011 to this current year. As far as the number of appeals, the deadline is April 2nd this year. It's Monday, so you never know until that, actually, till April 4th or 5th, I'll know the total number of appeals. I have one appeal just from the county so far, but that's
okay.
But that's it.
What are the other contractual services? I'm the one that had the question.
Oh, okay. Contractual services on...
Page 9. That's the same thing.
I'm only looking here on a worksheet that I have. The tax $5,200 number.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's for the Vital computer system. It does all our downloads for that. It's
software maintenance agreement.
Right. It's $400 a month, but included in that also is every year I have to send out an assessment notification postcards, and they do it. That's where the difference is between the $4,800 and the $5,200. The other items on there are for postage that I have to pay for those assessment note cards.
Uh-huh. I guess my main question was with the legal services, because in the past 3 years, the most we spent was $5,600, and that was in 2009. So I guess, do we really need the $15,000? That's my question. I mean, I trust your judgment. If it needs to be $15,000, it needs to be $15,000.
Obviously, the practical answer to that, I mean, I'm looking at it here, too, to be honest with you. I would say probably the $15,000. He's only the last years I have are $5,600 and about $5,100. Most likely not. I left it the same, being that I was only here since October. I really don't know what to anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
If we do get a large number of appeals, obviously there'll be more work for the attorney.
Right.
I would say practically...
When's the budget adoption?
April 20th.
April 20th.
So you could
get back, if you could keep that in the back there, maybe we could change it before the budget adoption.
You know what I'll do? I have to reach out to also and speak to the attorney, too, as far as what he anticipates continue on those pending...
Right.
Because a lot of it, even though they were filed last year, and there wasn't a lot of work for the attorney last year, going forward now, if we can try to get a handle on what we'll anticipate as far as if there will be trials, obviously we're going to try to avoid any trials, because that only becomes costly for everyone. I will try to get a handle on it beforehand. I'll know the number of appeals, hopefully by that time, too, and, you know, even if it were knocked down to like two-thirds of that amount, it may be that would be able to cover it for 2012. I don't know. You know, I apologize. I just kind of stayed status quo with that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like I said, now I'm starting, because I've been here like 3 years, and now I'm trending myself.
Right, okay.
And so that's something that I...
You kind of plan for the worst and hope
right.
For the best.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's fine. If it needs to be there, it needs to be there.
Right.
But... Every $1,000 helps.
No. Trust me, I have to.
Not everyone feels that way, but I feel that way.
No, I understand. I just don't want to. I didn't want to be the first guy, and all of a sudden have to come back to you at some point and say.
Yeah, I need more.
I'm
no,
short,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
That's probably not a good thing.
But that was all I had.
Okay.
So thank you for coming out. I don't know if anyone else had questions.
John, Justin, you have anything?
No, I was looking at the same thing, the $15,000.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, I'm looking at it now, too, and I think when I actually did this, It was probably within the first couple of weeks that I was here.
Yeah, really. That's when they first started.
Nothing really changed much, and, you know, I reached out, you know, actually spoke to Sigrid as I was going through it. So mostly everything did stay the same, but I'm looking at that figure now. I'll have to speak to Mr. Conley to try to get, like, an anticipation from him as far as what some of the expenditures will be this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can knock it down and hopefully hope for less appeals.
Okay.
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 Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. Dan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Dan Aaron, our planning board representative.
Yes.
For the evening.
Good evening.
You can
Mr.
go.
Mayor and
yeah,
Councilman Valentine probably know more about the planning board budget than I do. However, I was asked to come here last week because I guess a couple of people couldn't come. We plan on running the same 2011 levels for everything this year. There are a couple other bigger items pending grants that we'd like to do. Have you guys received a copy of the budget sheet?
No.
At all?
No.
No.
Okay, I have no idea. Do you want me to run through the 10 items that we have, or?
Let's see what you have there. Just kind of pull it up.
Yeah.
And see if we have, see. Yeah, okay, well, we do have that.
That's, we have that one.
That's the budget worksheet.
Budget worksheet. You have the second copy, the second sheet of the budget worksheet with the 2012 projects pending grants?
No.
Yes.
Okay, this is, and I was not present during the meeting. Mayor, Mr. Mayor, and Councilman Valentine were there. But I guess pending reception of grants, which we should receive because we participated in the, what is that, the Highlands Plan, I guess, because we conform with the Highlands Plan, we should receive grant money from the state, supposedly?
We are no longer in the Highlands Plan.
Okay.
So, you know, we have to be in it in order to receive those
okay.
grants.
Okay. Well,
I
in that case, then the... Yeah, the $30,000 to redo the master plan reexamination.
Right.
That is that 47.5 I'm seeing here?
I have 30 right from
Oh, yeah, it's broken out. Cause 30 for that and then 15 for the ordinance. Right.
There's 30 for that, 50 for us, and then 2,500 for the riparian zone buffer completion, I guess.
Right.
All of those were just based on receiving grant money, as far as I know.
Can you repeat them again? The master plan?
The master plan, the land use ordinance for $15,000, and the complete, I guess, completion of the riparian zone buffer. I guess the stream, I guess.
The land use ordinance, that was pending a grant as well?
As far as I know, yes.
The riparian buffer.
Yep, I have...
Okay.
However, there are a few projects that need to be addressed in the future.
So those grants are part of the Highlands, too?
I'm not sure that one is. The other two were, I'm confident of.
Yeah, I do apologize. I was not present.
I know where all the questions are.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe could you get back to us this week
absolutely.
Any of them pending the grants? And so it has nothing to do with the ordinance review for the code book?
Yeah.
Because
that
was my question for the planning board.
Hold on just a second, Dan, if you would. Ms. Blanchard, riparian, as you know it, too, was also not part of...
Not part of the Highlands. We started that, Dan, when I was still on planning board.
Okay.
And I think that was a separate ordinance that the engineer had brought to the planning board to consider.
And is that like a Green Acres grant, or... not Green Acres, I forget what I'm talking about.
It had to do with it was steep slope and a riparian buffer near the Shattapon.
It's a very long meeting.
Yeah, it was. So, as I understood it, they would be separate from the Highlands grant. The master plan, and the other...
The code book.
Right.
Land use ordinance. So I assume that would be...
So I was thinking if the planning board wanted to move forward with the riparian, I think I'm saying it right, buffer zone ordinance, it would be separate from that. It would be something you would need to budget for.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of people on the screen, and this is a
200-foot buffer. And the master plan money has been pulled from the budget.
Right.
In the riparian ordinance?
No, riparian is the one that stayed $2,500. That's why they budgeted up $2,500.
But the master plan and the land use ordinance was always with both.
It was, so, okay, my,
so now we're down to 15,000?
That's relatively older. So this is what I'm working, this is the latest thing I have, though. This is what I'm working on. So this thing says, professional review of ordinance is 15. That was why I called them into question. Because if it's something they needed, I'm not, you know, maybe we need to keep it in.
Well, those were...
But, so this has nothing to do with what we're working on?
No, it does, but this is what the planning board's original request was, and this is what administration proposed to council.
Right.
The previous manager had pulled that.
I understand that, but just because the manager pulled something doesn't mean...
Doesn't mean they can't have...
And that's why I called them into it. So my question still remains, does this have anything to do with what the planning board did in 2011 for the code book review?
I can't answer that.
No, I that was when we paid out the $2,500 to the professionals to do the preliminary look at the code book.
Yes, right. That's not this.
That's not that at all.
Okay.
That $15,000 would have been if we went ahead with going through with having them look at the code book.
So that was just the $2,500 or whatever it was?
The $2,500
was just the preliminary look?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Was that preliminary, and then they would do the rest?
And that's how much they would charge to look at the ordinance?
To look at the whole book.
Oh, the whole book?
Yes.
Oh.
$2,500.
Just the land use part.
Right.
$17,000?
Your husband's expensive.
It's not. That's not him. That's
he's the planner. That's the planner, I think.
Most of it is, but I think the engineer comes into
it. See, and that's my other question. If you could find out, they gave us something, and apparently the engineer also gave something, but we never got it from the planning board.
Okay, I'll find out.
Yes, Mary Ann, so I'll call her tomorrow.
Yeah, she didn't fill me in all
this. She has to contact Finelli to get the information, because I don't think they ever gave it to us.
Because we've already paid a few $1,000 from these professionals.
What's the deadline? When you need to know this information, if we're trying to know. All right.
It's already been removed. My concern was, you know, I don't want to remove stuff, but if it's something that we need, then we got to put it back in.
Oh, no, absolutely. 100%. And I did as much research as I can in the limited time.
But I was also concerned because we made a transfer at the end of last year to pay for this work.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm concerned.
Yeah, that really was... Just somebody didn't pay close enough attention to the budget lines.
Right. Which is not going to happen again, believe me.
Yeah, guaranteed.
On the planning board part, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
As a member of the planning board, you don't deal with that.
Yeah, I don't.
That's probably the chairperson and the secretary who deals with it more than anybody.
Okay. It's not going to happen again.
Probably the secretary.
So I come before you and I digress.
Okay, thank you for coming.
We're all good?
Thank you.
I'm going to find out that information, though.
Point out, though, that if you can find out, you can get back to me this week. Because
I will.
We are scheduled to introduce the budget Tuesday. And if we, after introduction, you can correct me, if we change a line item by more than 10%,
right.
Then we have to
have
another public hearing and advertise the change. And that's where it gets costly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So we should know what we're going
10% of the line item?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be in touch with you tomorrow.
Okay.
And you can tell me exactly what you want me to find out from Marianne.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Exactly.
What he finds out from Marianne is not going to affect the budget. That's been paid for already. She's requesting the information that we did not receive.
Well, no, it's twofold. That's one part of it. We didn't get information. But the other part is what else did they still need to do for $15,000?
It was to actually go in depth and look at that land use section. That's what it was. That's pulled. That's not happening.
So that $15,000 is not going to be in there.
No.
I know it was pulled, but how do you know we don't need that? We're not professionals either.
Again, if we were in compliance with the Highlands, we wouldn't be paying for any of that. The thing why it was pulled, because we don't have the money in the budget.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the master plan reevaluation, too, that there was, it's not entirely linked, but there's a big link between it, because if the change of the master plan goes to conform with the Highlands, they have to make sure all of our ordinances go along with it also.
Right.
In the process
of
doing that, they were going to try and look at our land use ordinances and the way they are in the code book and try and make them a little more user-friendly. so that you're not going, oh, you know, I'm on page 67 and it says this and it refers me to page 233, which then refers me back to page 80. You know, that's kind of the way it is right now.
Okay.
So they're going to try and streamline that.
If we had gone in compliance with the Highlands, that would have saved the taxpayers $47,000. But because we don't
Right.
But here's the thing. I'm looking, I got some numbers out of this other packet here. I see the 7637 under the control total.
What is
okay?
the packet you're looking at now, Justin?
Well, I wrote down my notes from last time I was looking at it. I'm looking at the one we're all looking at, but I also have these numbers, which I don't know if this is correct or not. But then I'm seeing, this is in 2011, 7637, okay, which I see here.
And just to say it again, when you're looking at those budget worksheets, you may not be looking at the numbers that are actually in the budget.
The
that's what I'm thinking. And I get a number of 10137, which is a two. I guess it's the one we're paying attention to then when we get right from.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay for a little historical type of information. Okay. But
things are still changing that aren't on.
Yeah, but what's in there is not necessarily what's already in the budget.
Okay.
We do need to, I mean, my opinion is we do need to budget in the future for looking at the code book again.
That's my problem. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And we're going through a whole reclassification.
Well, I don't think this
year,
I don't expect the taxpayers to pay any more than they need to pay this year. But I say if everything rebounds, the economy rebounds, I think three years out, I think we definitely need to redo the code book or look into it. But obviously, 2012, it's still uncertain as to what's going to happen with the economy. So
well, the master plan will have to be by law done within the next 4 years. Yeah, because I think we're in six, so it's at 10 that it's mandatory.
As we re-examine, though, right? I tried to get out of the plan. I re-examined any part of it. As long as you re-examine any piece of it, that's considered in compliance.
But that could be a time to do it.
Oh, yes. No. Our planner seemed to stress the fact that we made this master plan back in 1979, and we haven't done really anything to it other than add and subtract or whatever. But we need to really go in depth and look at it. But obviously, right now, it's not in the budget. But we need to think about it, maybe 2013 budget or whatnot, 2014.
Thank you.
Okay, we don't have recreation here yet, so
in the meantime.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, if anybody, we have Ms. Turchin here, so if anybody has questions for her, have at it.
There's the Thursday, I was at the book fair at the middle school. And I was talking to
Memorial School.
What? Memorial School. And I was talking with Diana Dove, who does the environmental programs there, and she brought it to my attention that the Clean Communities gives us a grant every year. And right now we have $11,537.17. And part of that actually was and I went on their website, and actually, part of the requirements for them for the use of this money are educational programs to promote clean communities. And their big thing is education in the schools. So this hasn't been funded for a long time. This is where this money is supposed to go. My suggestion is that we take half of it and give it to the schools to do their programs, because that could also include the high school. It will also include preschool programs or younger programs that are run through the churches here. And again, it's all about bringing awareness about how important it is to, keep your community clean, what happens when you litter and stuff like that. So what I'm proposing is that we take at least $5,000 of that to give it to the school programs, and then the rest of it, I'm actually going to be talking with them to find out what else we can use this money for. So
do we have to divide that up in the line item, or is it just
for
us to use?
No, it's in the grant fund, and it's already sitting there. And we have more than $11,000, in the line item.
Okay.
And yes.
So how can we use it?
We can use them for public works if you'd like to have a vacuum truck run, through your town and clean the curbs, and different things like that.
So we would just need to make a motion as to how to use it.
Right.
Once budget is adopted.
There's
or it doesn't matter.
The Clean Communities has nothing to do with the budget. You
okay.
can make a decision
at any time.
At any time.
Okay.
Okay,
so how do
we
go about making sure that they get the money for these for the educational?
You would have to do a resolution authorizing that type of contract or that type of service.
Okay. Okay, so can we do it now, or is this not the time?
That would be like a regular council meeting.
I think before we do that, we would, I'd like to see a little something saying what exactly it is, as opposed to just a motion for the resolution.
Sure. What are they going to use the funds for? Are they going to buy books, or are they going to do, you know, water bottles and little bags for Sesame Community? And if that's the case, you know, we can make the bags and just provide it to them, but we will be in control of them.
Okay. So then I basically, I should have her almost like do like a proposition.
Yeah.
Okay, proposal.
Proposal.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll reach out there then.
Can you also tell us what we use it for? What we use it for?
Right now, for nothing. I mean, the last year balance is still sitting there. We haven't touched it.
Okay.
So it could be used for road, like, maintenance?
We have to be
like
careful.
Sweeping or something like that?
Sweeping.
Like, why? Like, can we restripe roads with that? Like, you know, curbs?
That's not clean community.
Okay.
Getting rid of graffiti, cleaning up trash.
Okay.
We have a lot of not-for-profit volunteer association. They go and they clean the park, and we pay a stipend for them, you know,
right.
If they provide, you know, 10 garbage bags for stuff.
Is there any kind of maintenance involved, like grounds maintenance that you can use, like maybe, you know, raking leaves or something like that? Or
if it's going towards cleaning community,
yeah. Okay.
You know, they're also really big on graffiti abatement programs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and educating kids about graffiti.
Right.
I mean, a large part of this is really about education. The bottom line is, if you educate, in the long run, you wind up spending less money to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a good program.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see Mr. Cioni has come in, so we'll be a little bit early for him, and we'll have the recreation discussion. And I think there's a little document here from recreation today.
Yes, and I apologize that Des Fitzgerald can't be here. He had a prior commitment, so he got me.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So, first, I mean, I'm assuming you have the document and you've had a chance to look over it, right?
Is this additional funds that you're
tonight.
Looking for?
It's that.
Yeah, we just got
okay.
it.
Okay, so
additional funds that you're looking for?
These are additional. These would be considered capital funds outside of recreation.
This is resulting from requests.
Not really.
Well, apparently this was already
this was submitted probably a month and a half or so ago as part of the process.
Yes. I wouldn't have said add more money had I known that we had this already in place. So I guess
okay.
I guess the first question is the $4,500 that we moved out now in recreation operating expense for the playground mulch.
Correct.
Is that enough? My thing is that the borough maintain all the parks
mm-hmm.
and fields,
mm-hmm.
and is
correct.
That enough for that? This is Dr. Van.
Well, I mean,
capital.
Just to give you an idea of that, the $4,500 we're using that for, and this year we're using that for playground mulch, and those types of expenses, topsoil, any ball field clay that we might need, stuff like that, because that's what it's pretty much been used for in the past. So what Janine's sort of alluding to is the fact that, you know, field maintenance in general, whatever that means, encompasses. That could be weed and feed treatments to get the fields back to the standards. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Varafield when it was, we basically, when I was on council, we made Centex come back and put sod down because the hydrograss that they put down was such poor quality and it wasn't a safe, playable surface. So we had them put sod down and it looked amazing, absolutely beautiful as you can imagine. The problem was, you know, it wasn't maintained, and it had gone so poorly last year that we had gotten so much criticism from outside towns that would come and play soccer or t-ball, whatever. So to go back to Janine's point, you know, we want to start getting that field and other fields back up to standard, you know, and that would be the weed and feed treatments. That would be, just for example, we got estimates this year for just Barra Field for three treatments, liquid fertilizer, weed control treatments, and it was like $600. So, you know, those numbers start to add up. You know, you're going to have to do that, as well as, you know, in the fall, you're probably going to have to rent an aerator and then overseed for the fall so that next year it comes up that much better. So, again, if you have Barra Field, you have Borough Park, you know, if you want to do some weed and feed treatments there, those types of things inside the pool fence to keep the weeds down and under control. So those types of things. If we want to do the railroad embankment, let's say we want to do have a company come in and put pesticides down or, you know, weed killers down so that it looks uniform and clean, you know, that's an additional expense. So that's not capital, and it's one of those things where it would fall under the parks and recreation field maintenance type of things, mm-hmm. you know.
Would that work on the buildings and grounds? Natasha?
Sorry.
Could they draw from the buildings and grounds fund?
We already moved the money from the public
I'm talking fund. About the $4,500, yeah, but he's asking for, like, the spraying, the pesticides, the aeration, and the overseeding.
There's nothing against from public works guys helping them out.
Well, there is, actually, because and this is why I actually came up. I said, well, why don't we get one of the public works guys to get certified in doing that? And supposedly they were asked, and they all said no, basically. They didn't want to take on the additional responsibility, whatever. So I was like, you know, that was a perfect idea, because you pay the $300 or $400 to get certified, and then you don't have to pay an outside contractor, and we could buy the weed and feed product from the Morris County Co-op, those types of things, save a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And they could also do downtown. They could do the main parking lot. They can, you know, they wouldn't be restricted to just the park. But, you know, that didn't go anywhere. So, I mean, theoretically, you just can't have somebody put it down. That's why.
Right. So you don't have anybody.
No, my question is this. There is a line item already in the budget for buildings and grounds. Could they draw off of that line item?
No, for the public works. Recreation can't just charge money to the building and grounds line item. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you think the building and grounds has too much, we can adjust it. We can take the money from building and grounds and put it in recreation.
So what I'm saying is, do we spray anywhere else?
No, not that I know of. Not that we've ever done before. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I mean, we'd have to contract it out, right? DPW guys don't do it.
Who does the library's work?
Library is done by DPW right now. In the past, they have contracted out for that, and it did include a weed and feed and mulching of the shrubbery and things of that nature.
See, I would even go further and say, like a sort of a, like, I don't want, if let's say you come up with a number. Let's say we give you a number to say Barrowfield weed and feed treatments, the railroad embankment, those types of things, you know, in some other areas. Let's say it's $1,500 a year. Let's just say, you know, that's what a contractor would charge. You know, if their money was dedicated for that, I would even go so far as to say that we would make sure that it's a rider under rec trust, so that it could never be used to offset losses on a sports program. Because I don't want to get, you know, forget, like, if I leave or everybody leaves, you know, and it's like that's money sitting there. Well, we don't have to do the field maintenance this year. We'll just use it to offset the pool loss or something like that.
But the way the recreation is established, if we give them money, it's up to them how they spend it.
Correct.
So that would be up to you.
I
agree. I think it should
like
still be dedicated towards this. See, that's what I still think.
I
it should be from buildings and grounds.
We can't do that, though, can we? Unless we...
We could, probably.
You could have a line item of buildings and grounds, I assume.
Oh, yeah, that's an idea.
Well, well you could have an line item.
Buildings and grounds,
but,
you know?
Yeah, right.
But the town could also have a line item of buildings and grounds and contract it out based on our request, right? Then we could say, like, we need...
I mean, there's nothing prevents us from subsidizing from building and grounds as long as everybody agrees that that's how it's going to be funded from this point on. What I don't want to happen is building and grounds starts buying it and then they run out of, you know, money short, or we start charging something for building and grounds for recreation purposes and then later, you know, that wasn't the intent of their budget. So if everybody's intent is to put the money in building and grounds and those funds will be used to maintain recreation too, there's nothing
precluding you.
Yeah,
and we could give you, because we already have the estimates for VARA, we could easily get estimates for the railroad embankment and parts of the pool. At a minimum, I'd like to see it done inside the pool fence because, you know, you clover and all the other stuff, not only is it unsightly.
Well, and it should still be part of, like, the library. That's my thing. It's not just field. All of, like, I didn't know we weren't mulching anymore. Like, it should have been the DPW doing it, but they should be doing...
Well, the pesticide stuff has to be
contracted. You know, they shouldn't
right.
just be mowing the library lawn. They should be making it beautiful.
Well, dude, Women's Club or Juniors Women's Club has done a lot of that work around library, too. They've volunteered to do some of that.
It's hard to rely on volunteers year in and year out, though, as we can all know, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was coming from, where I want to make sure that the town is...
Yeah, no, I mean, listen.
So that's...
Aside from cutting the grass and stuff that we're on the hook for, which we have no problem with doing, you know, the other things to get the fields in a healthy condition, you know, not necessarily like, you know, Division One soccer field condition, but, you know, it was embarrassing last year. We had parents coming up to us that, you know, and we took care of that to some extent this year with the drainage project. We did a three-phase drainage project, which really alleviated a lot of the standing water and stuff that was there. So that helps, because whatever you do put down is tending to stay down, and it's not going to run off.
Can you find out how much the embankment would be?
Sure.
How many treatments would you need? How many times would you need to spray?
If I had a guess, you know, I mean, again, I would probably say if you did a treatment in the spring and you did a treatment maybe in midsummer, that would get you through the entire season.
Isn't that railroad property?
It is. They've given us permission to take care of it for them.
Oh, okay.
But we have, yeah, we would definitely go to them first. I mean, a lot of this would be precluded on their approval.
Well, their permission is for us to throw
mulch down on it, correct, in order to suppress weeds as opposed to anything else. So, yeah, that would require another can we?
What are we releasing the budget?
At the next meeting, March 6th.
Did you get to us before then?
Yeah, well, for just the weed killer on the railroad embankment?
And the field.
And the field, too.
Well, the field we know is, I don't know, ballpark it was like $600.
Inside the park fence.
Inside the park fence by March 6th. We can. Right. But, I mean, again, you know, $1,500 is probably a decent ballpark just to keep them back.
You comfortable with $1,500?
No.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, I don't know what these people are going to charge, especially for two treatments, but, you know, I could definitely get you those numbers probably well in advance of, I can call Dez tonight and make sure that he's on it tomorrow, getting at least them to come out and look at it. You know, Sunshine has a good relationship because they've worked in the park before, so they're familiar. So I would probably get an estimate. I can't promise I'd get multiple estimates, but I can get Sunshine to give us an estimate on both.
I would not have a problem then with that being put in the budget under parks, I mean under grounds maintenance.
So is that a motion?
To a maximum, though, $2,500?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless you make
or
it.
Or lower based upon the numbers that they're
And we would, we would every year.
Is that a motion?
But should we make a recreation ground maintenance, or should we keep it in the grounds maintenance? Should we differentiate that? That's my question.
Defer to Natasha, what do you think?
Found, we should differentiate that.
We can put it in building and grounds, and I can create a separate line that will say recreation field.
There we go.
I think that would probably be better.
Yeah. And with understanding that's what the funds are used for.
Yep.
Does that complicate the issue on your end or anybody else's end anymore?
No.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, so I'll make that motion
to
a maximum of, what did I say?
$2,500.
Or if it's less,
and I could promise you that we would competitively research every year, you know.
Okay, we have a motion.
A second.
Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Do we have anything else for recreation?
Yeah.
Well, now the capital expenses.
Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to explain each of the line items as you need me to, you know, because some of them warrant some explanation because there's not a lot of information here, obviously. So if you want, I can just walk through them real quick, and if you still have questions, ask me that way.
And prioritize.
Sure. Lowest priority, replace the hedge trimmer for $300.
I don't think that's a capital improvement.
Capital funds to buy the hedge trimmer?
Yeah, it's a capital expense in the sense that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's there. It's one of those things where we had one hedge trimmer. It's completely busted. We got Ryman to look at it. They said it would cost $150 or $160 just to fix it when you can buy a new one for $300. So right now we have no hedge trimmer, so that's why we need it.
It's a gas-powered one?
It's a gas-powered one. So we've already spoken with Ryman, so they're willing to give us an Echo trimmer, which is a really good one for $300 or less. You know, I have to sort of see if I can negotiate that down, because we paid him to fix the last one that broke after 5 minutes of using it. So I have a little angle there. So that's, you know, obviously that's a low priority, but it's something that we require because we have nothing right now. The pump house roof repair, I don't know how familiar you are with the condition of the pump house roof. It's, the shingles are completely deteriorated, and to some extent last year we had vandals that jumped up on it and were picking shingles off and throwing them into the pool. So, you know, beyond that, the vandalism aspect, there's a safety concern because, God forbid, it's allowed to deteriorate even further. Somebody falls through the roof, you know, and then that also houses, you know, $100,000 probably worth of pumps, you know, so if bad weather or something that, and the other thing, too, is with the oil prices going up. I got the estimate, original estimate, about a year and a half ago from the same contractor, and he, you know, his estimate was lower, but because of oil prices, the tar and the tar paper, the shingles, everything's gone up. So my only concern is if we don't do it this year, next year that number is going to be higher, and it's not going to go lower. And again, the plywood that's underneath, if that becomes affected, then you're ripping that out, and it's $40 a sheet for the plywood. So, you know, I'm trying to be proactive here and do preventative type of repair. So that's where the 25, and actually the contractor estimate was 20. He actually wanted a little bit more, but he said if you sign off on the repair work by the 30th of March, I'll keep the 2500 price. So in that regard, we're saving a little money there. Now the pipeline from the building to the pool side to correct the supply line water from the well pump to the pool, and Des mentioned he had spoken to everybody except you and Justin about that, because they had gone to the pool and he had walked them through what, in a nutshell, the pipeline is to get the water from the well pump to the pool without having to roll the fire hose out, because he says we waste so many man hours in doing that on a day-to-day basis because of the burn off of the water that the $1,000 would pay for itself over time, and that it's actually a masonry contract, so it's not even like in-house work because it would be professional, because you're going to dig a trench, you're going to run the line, you're going to hook it up, and it's actually ironic because there's a piece of sidewalk there that's already broken that would probably be replaced as a result of doing that work. So, I mean, running the hose out is a very cumbersome. I've seen them do it, and it's and you know, Justin, I'm sure you could, and Dave, you can attest to how heavy a hose can be. But so that's the crux of that one. The other main things are the safety lighting improvements for the grandstand lighting. We actually have, I think, one light left on the grandstand corner that still works, that's lit up at night. So what we were proposing was install certain segments around the entire grandstand of LED, because it'll last 15 years light, and it'll actually use a lot less energy around the grandstands in certain spaces. Like one, there's a light that's actually right above the restrooms that hasn't worked in God only knows how long, but I know a lot of times from soccer practice in the fall when it's dark and you're trying to get to one kid was trying to get to the door and they were trying to open it and he peed himself because they couldn't see the key to get to, you know. So I mean, things like that could happen, but I mean, just from a security perspective, you know, the police drive through and it's not well lit, so they can't really see if anybody's hanging out, and we see a lot of vandalism and garbage in the dugouts and stuff like that. So the security lighting, we feel, is, you know, beyond aesthetics, it's important because that area is so dark. That's that. And the other two items, the bigger items, are obviously the renovations to the concession stand, upgrade the electrical to the concession stand, because that was always in poor condition. The idea is to install a grill, a hood, and a fire suppression system. The idea is to sell more product. You know, we can have fried foods, French fries, big seller. And again, going off of what Belvedere has done, they have a similar setup. And they made just $9,000 in profit last year just from concession sales. And that's after payroll and after, you know, all things broken even. Now, granted, their pool is twice our size. But even if we cut that number in half, it's a lot better than we have been doing. And I think this could really help us take the next step as far as getting towards profitability. So I'm here to answer any of your questions.
Anything for council, first off?
I'd go 10 grand.
From 14.3 to 10?
Yeah.
Would we be able to, as far as like the repairs to the roof, would DPW be able to help assist in any way with, do you think, or is it?
Well, DPW could strip it down, probably.
Save some costs, you know.
It could. I mean, I guess the contractor would have to be up for that as well, right?
Yeah,
because, it's not worth his, it might not be worth his while. But, I mean, it's definitely something I could follow up on. So, like, let's say if the end number is $10,000 and we have to see if we could, you know, make do with it, then that would be one of the things I would try to do.
Right. And I'd go with $10,000 also. That's what I would say.
Possible. Now, how about the well pump? The line isn't that expensive. I mean, that's not really that big. But yeah, I agree with you with the improvements to the shack and the fire suppression. You do want to bring your profits in, so that is being pretty proactive. I like that. So.
Well, even when you have, you know, just on a marketing perspective, when you're sitting there in the pool with a bunch of kids, because I have kids,
right.
And you smell French fries cooking.
Right.
Boy, I'll tell you, we were baking French fries last year in the pizza oven, and we sold tons of them, and that's baking, and that's time-consuming.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of potential there for this. These aren't sunk costs, you know, that are going to go away.
Right.
So what do you think, Justin?
I think 10,000 is comfortable with, you know. I think that would be a good thing. It works like a supermarket. You walk in the supermarket, you smell the bakery when you walk in, makes you hungry, you buy more food.
Funny
so.
Story about that.
Right.
Real quick, I used to work in a supermarket.
Like that.
They used to actually pump that smell in.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even being baked, but they used to pump it in because for that reason.
People right, that's the whole premise behind that. When you first walk in, you know what I mean? So that's an excellent...
Yep. Ms. Detlef, what do you have?
I want to know with the lighting thing, if there's any possibility of motion detectors, only because of...
That's what is on here.
That's
LED
what
motion
it is.
Lighting. Motion.
They're LED?
Yeah, motion.
Well,
yeah, we could either do either or.
Tied into the police department at any
No, it wouldn't be. Because, I mean, it would generate so many falses. You know, you have somebody who's just walking their dog, you know, tripping it off. But we could do either or. You could do motion sensor, which is what it is, motion sensor. Or you could do something like a dawn to dusk, you know, so when the street lights go on, you know, they'll come on and they'll go off. So this way there's not flashing constantly when people.
Well, the other thing I wanted to know is just because we're paying the police department so much money, how come you don't put them on some kind of a schedule?
I think you can probably ask that question in a couple of minutes.
Why?
They're up next.
They're right there in the back.
Hey, you guys?
One of the things I'd like to think about in the near future would be rumble strips in the lower Park Drive, because what I notice when I'm there, whether I'm volunteering or whatever, I mean, there's cars cutting through, going 40 miles an hour sometimes through there. And
especially
it's like,
small children.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many spots. Like, usually a little kid that runs away from the wall, he's in the middle of that driveway. So I don't know if we can do that, but it's something we should consider looking at next year or a year after.
Okay. The fact that they plow there, too, because something's going to be able to
True.
Plow.
Or be picked up, because they do have port.
Right, or you bolt them down, and once you bolt down, pick up. That's
Okay.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
The only time that snack bar can be open is when the pool's open.
Can or is?
No, can.
Can be open for any event that we might have after hours. Like, let's say we have a basketball, men's basketball, and they want to open that side window and sell hot dogs and juices. The pool's not open, technically. Well, maybe it would be, but in the summer. But theoretically, they can, absolutely.
I mean, is there any regulation that says that can only be open certain hours?
In the late spring and early fall.
Well, even what we would do is, let's say, that's a good example. Let's say softball as a softball game. And
the All-Star game.
Pool's not open. But we want to open up the grandstand windows and sell food out of there. So what we well, there's windows on the side of the grandstand.
I know. Why can't we use that?
We can. So, but what I'm saying is, you prepare the food in the concession stand and just bring it up and put it in. That's what we're planning to do. Slow cookers, those types of things. Sell hot dogs, chips.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's exactly a perfect example of that.
Okay. Well. You've run over time. You didn't keep it short like you said you would.
Well, you know me.
looking at this budget, my question is, if you only get $10,000, okay, you can just about barely do the improvements of the snack bar and the pipeline, the pump house roof repair. You know, I don't know. My suggestion would be, could we just raise it to 12.5? Because then they could actually get the snack bar done and the pump house roof repair done.
Okay. Well, we don't have any motions, do we, Ms. Blanchard?
No.
Okay.
So, what's that?
So you make a motion?
That would be 11,000.
to do the, John, you're looking to do the improvements to the snack shack and the pump house roof repair?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one?
Okay, then,
that's 11 right there.
Well, well, it's more, actually, because if you notice in number three, it says equipment update to support
to
the snack
electrical.
Bar electrical.
So that would be 12.
Right, so that's what, yeah, that's what it's saying, 12, 5.
So, are you making a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the motion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
12-5.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions? Okay.
Sorry.
Right. And I'll definitely get all those numbers to you, to everybody.
Just give them to her and then we'll be plugged in.
I'll make sure I'll call Deb tonight. Sorry for being long.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, Mayor Kovacs, you're up next. If you'd like to introduce your entourage for us. Oh, okay.
Good evening. Mayor McDonald and Borough Council. My name is Peter DeBoer, Township Administrator. Kevin McCarthy, our CFO. Of course, Mayor Kovacs and Lieutenant Cicero are here upon your request.
Thank you very much for coming, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Ms. Detlef, you had a question before, so how about if we let you ask yours first here?
How come we don't see more of the police department since we're paying so much money?
Where are we? In town.
In
town? We're constantly in town. Probably, I don't know the exact figures, but I think you have monthly reports, but probably about 60% of our call volume is in the borough. We're constantly answering calls in town.
Yeah, we seem to have the more criminal-type calls. You guys seem to have the more traffic-related incidents.
Actually, I think if I remember from last month's report, there's more citations on traffic in the borough more than in the township.
There's more accidents in the township, but most of the citations
maybe that's what I was thinking
of. Borough and most of the call volumes in the borough.
Go around at night and look at the cars that are parked on the street in the borough that aren't supposed to be parked.
That's
on the street.
That's probably the majority of the summonses that we issue, the all-night parking summonses.
How come we're supposed to
be parking? We're parking. There's every morning when I come in, I use the location, but every morning when I come in, there's a stack of like 30 tickets that they write, you know, when they're enforcing that. So they're out there writing them.
Raise the fine or something.
I understand, but we can't be everywhere all the time. And if there's a safety concern of yours, you know, you can call them. They're definitely responsive, but we are in the borough frequently.
Tommy, normally, maybe to help answer the question, what kind of shifts do we have on the road at one time?
Usually we have five officers on the road at a time. Sergeant, four patrolmen. So
is that for the borough or for the combined?
The borough, Oxford, and Township?
That's
okay. Probably one guy over in Oxford. So
if
so there's six guys total, you're saying now?
Actually, there's five guys. During the daytime, there's a lieutenant out, there's six also.
That's the whole area?
Yes.
Okay.
With the Oxford, what was happening, because we do have a new contract, we dropped one police officer over in Oxford and renegotiated a new contract with them. So there's not always somebody in Oxford, and they understand that. We're giving them coverage, but there's not always somebody in Oxford.
Okay, so like
and
we had late night hours
over there before, correct, Tommy, and now we're down to three.
So what is that, like the late night hours or on-call only type of thing?
Or state police, or how does that work?
Basically what we're doing is we answer calls in Oxford. If things aren't busy in the borough and the township, a couple times a day we'll go up, take a ride through there, patrol it. And that's the way it is now. But I mean, there's nights when we're busy and we spend the whole night. All the cars are going from call to call in the borough. And there's some nights where you know it's busier in the township. It just depends on the type of calls and the call volume that we have. But
we're out of the budget.
I think we're going off topic. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Topic,
Mayor. Thank you. Okay. Mrs. Glebe, you have some questions?
Yes. And you want to go first?
Okay.
I'll ask the question. Why $94,000? How's That'll be the breakdown.
I think we're $94,000. Talking about the increase.
Yes.
Well, I think it might be helpful if I
share some information. Before we get there, why don't we ask why the Oxford's not on the sheet? Because I know Oxford's still part of this agreement.
That's part of my first question.
Regardless of who dropped what, they should be on here.
It's my understanding that although Oxford comes into the equation, it is an independent deal.
I understand.
When we put together the budget for the township and borough, it was a 50-50 split. And we used last year's numbers as a basis for that. And I think what might be helpful if I share some information with you here.
That's where my first question is. It's not 50-50, though, according to the agreement. We have the base of 1.6 million every year. That's where I don't see how this works. In the shared service agreement.
We have some numbers here that look like they're.
It's supposed to be 1.6 and then 50% of the increase over the last year. See, that's what it says. After 2009, the borough, in addition to the base service fee, which is $1,682,432, shall pay the township 50% of any increase from the previous year's total township police budget. It doesn't make sense to me.
I'll just throw this as a sidelight with the crossing guards.
That's not included. I'm not worried. At the crossing guard, I know that's that.
Do you know the history of what happened this year?
This year?
Yeah. I
know we're paying for the crossing guards. I'm keeping them separate because we're paying for them.
Well, I still have to explain it because the numbers are in here. It's part of the number that you're questioning. Okay, the crossing guards are on that sheet. What happened, the crossing guards haven't had a raise since we took over. They were supposed to get a raise. The year we took over, they didn't get it. But what's happened is, for the last couple of years, we just found it out because we had a new CFO and he caught it, they've been collecting unemployment. If it snows, they don't work that day, they would collect unemployment. If there was a holiday, President's Day, they didn't work, they collect unemployment. During the summertime, they didn't work, they collect unemployment. Last year, when we finally caught it, we realized we paid between $18,000 and $20,000 in the township for that unemployment. We didn't charge the borough back for that number. You know, we ate it, and as far as I know, we're not going to ask it for it, but it cost us between $18,000 and $20,000. What we did is we sat down with the crossing guards this year, and with Rich's help, because the salary that he recommended is what they're getting right now, but we put them on a hourly salary. In other words, we took the daily rate, the rate that they're getting per hour, how much they work each day, times 180 school days, and that's their salary for the year. We divided it by 26 paydays, so now they get a paycheck all summer long. They can no longer collect unemployment on that basis. So we made a change there and saved the borough some money, I think.
So they're year-round employees, essentially.
Right.
Okay.
Instead of, as I say, why the state ever paid them unemployment when
holiday. I didn't even know you could apply.
They were collecting more money than 180 days, school days. So we kind of corrected that. And as I said, we didn't catch it until this year with our CFO caught the fact that it cost us close to $20,000 in unemployment last year. I don't know what it was the year before because this is probably ongoing. And they all agreed there was no problem between working it out with Rich and our police department, our CFO, and the crossing guard. So everybody's happy right now. And they'll be switched over to the new system here because it just happened, so we've got a little retro pay to get straightened out.
How does that work with the crossing guards working for the high school during football games?
The high school pays them direct.
If they work for a football game or something like that, whatever it might be. Okay.
So now, also, if they miss a day, they still turn in timesheets. If they are sick and don't work that day, that is subtracted from that paycheck.
Okay, so they don't have a sick
day. So we're paying them for 180 days if they work 180 days, and that's it. They only get paid for what they work.
There's no sick days or personal days.
No sick days, nothing.
Gotcha.
That's part of the number that you're seeing here.
Okay.
Good. If I may, can I come back to your question?
Sure.
Why 94,000? Actually, it's 96,000.
Okay.
And it occurred to me that the analysis that I gave you, which is basically in the same format that you had from last year, might have been a little bit confusing. So what I wanted to do
was compartmentalize those expenses so you understand what were the drivers of expenses overall. And if you take a look at that first page, you're looking at what the drivers are. Let's start off with the budget from last year, 2011. The agreed upon amount was $2,143,000, which should be familiar to everyone in you in the room. What we're asking for the 2012 budget is a number at the bottom there, which is $2,239,000. That's $96,000 increase. There are three components that drive that $96,000. The first is the crossing guards. It's a 27,000% year-over-year increase from last year's
$27,000. You said 27,000%.
Well, 1.27%.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to correct you there before that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I could see the press putting that in the front page there.
Sure. So, in other words, crossing guards have increased based on the agreement between the township and the borough. Of the 4.4... Go ahead.
What agreement between the township and the borough?
It's my understanding that the chief and the administrator sat down and worked out what the salary would be for the 2012 budget for the crossing guards, which is what the mayor had just described, and had agreed in principle to a salaried arrangement for the full 12 months for each of them, thereby avoiding unemployment and the associated expenses.
Okay, so that's a $20,000, an $18,000 to $20,000.
I'm not sure what
the savings is. Okay, so my question then would be, if that's a $18,000 to $20,000 savings, why are we going up $27,000?
They did get a raise that they hadn't had before. Rich had promised them they were supposed to get $14.70 or something back when we took over. They never got those raises. Rich recommended $14.50 this year, which was an increase of what they were making. It is a raise over, and that was part of the deal, like get rid of your overtime or your unemployment money as an offset on that. So there is.
If I could clarify that a little bit too, Mr. Mayor, it's my understanding that the unemployment savings is realized over time. What drives the unemployment rate is the history, the performance of any organization. Because each year the crossing guards do go on unemployment, we've had an inordinately high rate, unemployment rate. But what happens is every 6 months, the governing board for unemployment, I'm not sure what the name of it is, reevaluates what our history is, and looking forward we will see savings. So that's not to say we're going to see savings in 19 or 2012.
Okay, so you're a numbers guy, right?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So based on what the mayor just said, an $18,000 to $20,000 savings.
No, I didn't say it was a saving. I just said we saved about $18,000 to $20,000 in unemployment that we paid.
Right.
Let me clarify.
Why would we pay $27,000 then?
Because the township was paying the $18,000 to $20,000.
My point exactly. If we continued to pay it, we'd save $8,000 at $20,000.
Assuming no raise for them.
Right.
You're paying the percentage, you're not on the reimbursement basis when it comes to your unemployment?
As my understanding, they were paying on a percentage basis.
And they actually send you some type of letter saying that your percentage changes? Because I thought it was the flat percentage for the municipality. They said one rate.
The township has no unemployment. We don't have any. We don't pay unemployment for any of our people. The crossing guards.
Do you need to pay unemployment based on the percentage of the $30,000 max of everybody's salary, or mm-hmm. on the reimbursement basis, and you only pay unemployment if somebody does claim unemployment? So which way do you do that?
I'm not certain of that. I mean, I spoke to our payroll service, who offered the explanation that I just mentioned a few minutes ago, and that the benefit is really.
The easiest way to do this. I mean, you're paying the bill, okay? If we give you exactly what everybody's making, their timesheets and everything, that's based on 180 school days times the number of hours they have to work each day, times 180 at their rate, that's the number it comes out to.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but you're saying that, you said earlier, 18 to 20,000, and
that's what we paid.
That's what you paid. So why would we end up paying 27,000? almost another $10,000 to change it.
It's the raise between what they were making before and their new salary.
Okay, but if they didn't get a raise, and I'm under the impression that we have to vote on that, don't we?
Rich said that right. He was the one who recommended it. I mean, if you do that, then you've got to go back. You know, right now the crossing guards agreed to it. Rich had agreed to it. We took his recommendation, and there's where we are.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to go call the crossing guards in and ask them, you know, say we're not going to give you that much, that's up to you.
Before we get too much farther along in this, I have another appointment that I have to go to, and I guess we're going to need another chair to take over for me when I go. So would someone like to make a motion for someone else to lead the meeting while they go?
Oh, I have no idea how you're leading the meeting.
Okay, I would suggest either Mr. Higgins or Mr. Jewell, as they have experience doing evening.
Go ahead, your question.
Yeah.
Somebody make a motion.
I'll make a motion that Councilman Higgins.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions?
Too bad.
Okay.
Ken, is there any way you can find out your reimbursement thing?
I will look into it.
If every quarter, do you get an unemployment bill that says you owe X, or you don't get that bill?
I believe that's handled through our payroll service. I don't see anything directly. I think it's something I should research, and I will look into that for you.
Okay.
If I can move on to the second component, which is the police salary and benefits. This is increasing by $69,000. The lion's share of this is for the contract we have with our police department, which is calling for a 4% increase on our salaries. The basis for that in the contract is the 12-month CPI ending November 30th of 2011, plus 1%. So you're doing the math there, the salary base increases by 4%, which is the majority of what you see.
So why do we get 3.22% of that?
This is an attempt to show the components of the 4.48% increase. Is that confusing to you?
4.8, right?
Right. If you take a look at
the 4.8 is 2.4.
This is additive. If you take a look at, well, what I'm saying is that of the $96,000 represents a 4.48% increase over last year's budget.
Okay.
Of that 4.48%, the 1.7% or 28% of that increase, if you will, is coming from the crossing guards.
9.7%, you're saying that the total police budget for the township increased 9.7% last year?
No, I'm not saying.
9.6%?
Not at all.
Okay, I thought I thought according to the agreement, we do 50%.
Of the increase only?
Of the increase.
That's my question.
50% of the increase?
Yes, mm-hmm. According to the agreement. And that's why I'd like to back your, you back your spreadsheet out. Our contract is annually we give almost $1.7 million plus 50% of the increase over the year before. And it looks like this is just 50-50. And that's not even including anything with Oxford.
Right.
But this is my understanding was that you share 100% of...
No.
Of
no.
No. Not according to the shared service agreement.
Tom, could you check the line on this?
The base service fee, I think, is what the first line was, and that was in 2000.
Right, and every year after that, it's
supposed to be
50%.
Good.
The 50% is just the increase.
Yeah,
see, if you want to read it.
We started.
No, we're familiar with it. You're right.
Then I need to recalculate my numbers. I thought we were...
Kevin, did you work these up, or did Tom work them up with you, or
where did the way we structured this was that, you know, after our budget meeting on February 11th, we had an entire police budget, and we did the allocation between the borough and the township. Tom and I sat down. Basically, we used the 2011 budget as a benchmark for 2012.
Is half of the overall increase of the overall budget?
No, this is basically the
the borough picking up an equal amount of what the increase is for their share of the overall police budget, or for their share. So in other words, in theory, if they have 12 police officers, they had a base salary in 2011. In 2012, those 12 police officers received a salary increase of 4%. It was my understanding that the borough would be covering 100% of that 4% increase, which is built into the contract.
On 12?
Of the 12 officers, right.
Is that your number reflected?
It should, because that's half of the increase. I mean, I think in theory it's going to work out the same way. There's 24 officers. If all 24 got raises, half of that raise is an increase to the budget.
But I understand that Oxford is a separate entity, and that reduces the townships.
We've got 27 officers, three in Oxford, and 24 here. So we take the 24 and 12 of those, and 12 of the borough, 12 of the township, and 12 of the borough, and the increase is a 4% for the 12 of the borough is the number that you're saying.
I think it would be easier if we saw it as the base, that's what we have to pay, and then... Because if you subtract out the base from what the budget is, if you subtract the base from that 2.2 million, you know, for this year, for the borough, the borough, including the crossing guards, that's like $557,000 more.
I'm sorry, I'm confused by what were you guys saying?
I'm not saying it's wrong. It just doesn't make any sense to look at this way.
But it's still
the base fee every year plus. Yeah. If we could see it that way.
The share of it.
2011 became the base year.
You got to look at it. The 1.6 or whatever.
So you're saying every year the base service fee changes?
Let's start off with the number that you should be familiar with. From 2011.
But then whatever that increase was, it's not always...
2,143. You see it there, on page 2. You see it on page... Are you looking at page 2?
The new base fee is...
No, it's not the base fee. That stays the base fee.
It does say the base fee.
But the thing is you can't say it increased 500,000 from that base fee because...
If you take a look at each individual component for salaries...
You know what I mean? So it's not that much of an increase.
Family leave, all the other expenses...
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to say, okay, looking at it.
2,143.
I guess it would be helpful to know what is the total police budget. What is the total police budget? Then you have it separated for Oxford, the borough, the township.
2012 represents the proposed budget based on your share of the increases. Just
the numbers might be right. I can't determine that.
And that is a 4.48% increase versus 2011. Are you with me?
I'm here.
Okay. So, I think that's correct. I think what you're saying is that, you pay 50% of the consolidated borough and township budget, if you will, for the police department, right? Is that what you're saying when you're talking about 50%?
I'm just trying to figure out how it's calculated based on the service agreement. That we have that base, 1.6 million.
And every year it increases.
No, the base stays the same.
No, the base changes each year because you can't go 1.6 million and say, well, last year it went up $1, so it becomes 16.1. This year it went up $2, so it's 1.6 plus $2. That's not the way it works because every year there's a cost increase. And it can't keep the 1.6.
He knows what I'm talking about.
With the base fee is in there, it's written in that 1.6, but then those increases, it increases every year 50%.
It becomes a new base year.
But it's still that base fee starts at 1.6.
Yeah, it starts at 1.6, but the following year, the base goes up a little bit.
It's 50% of the increase is what
right.
It is.
Right. Well, that gives you a new base year. So if you take the increases since 1.6...
Mathematically, I think it will work out exactly the same.
Yeah, it's
if you take 1.6 and add the 50% for 2010 increase, 50% 2011 increase, and now 50% of 2012 increase, or you take 1.6 and take the difference and add 50%,
It's the same.
It's going to work out the same number. I mean, maybe a dollar is just around it, but it's going to end up the same way.
But you, what you're saying is correct, according to the wording of the contract.
And then the only grant we receive part of money is that NJMBC, like, aren't there other, like, grants that the police department goes out for? I don't know. I'm going to say, Clicker to Ticket. Don't we get any other grants?
Clicker to Ticket, we get, we didn't get it this year. We have, but that's like, EWI funding, but that's like separate. That's not part of, that's like not aligned into the budget. It's just overtime we assign guys to do.
Right, but do we ever receive any of those parts of those monies back? Or does the township get all those revenues, or do you give us any of those revenues?
It doesn't reduce our budget. It's not a revenue to the township. All it does is pay for overtime for an officer to go out and do DWI patrols, and what we do is they patrol in the borough and the township, so you're...
No, I know it won't change the budget, but when you receive those funds, does the borough get any of those funds?
We don't receive them. Like, what it is if I work at DWI patrol, that pays for me to go out and do my patrol. The township doesn't get money. It just pays that officer's salary during the patrol.
It's accounted for separately outside of this arrangement.
So the only grant we get is the NJMBC?
I fill out grant applications every year. There's probably like six or seven I fill out every year, and if we got them, it would be reflected in their book.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
we haven't been getting
any grants lately.
What percentage did you use for pension for the police and for PERS?
This is the actual dollar amount that we used.
So the police, I understand, but there's no... How did you get the secretary's actual dollar amount?
Secretaries, as I understand, are covered through the administrative pension and not the police pension.
Right, they along with court department.
Right, but there should be... I took a look at this earlier. There should be actually a reduction in the pension because...
But what percentage did you use? Because you got...
It was 11% of the base salary, which is the same from... 2011.
Base salary of 11?
Yes.
I have a question for you, just now, if I could, real quick. The unemployment, they're on the unemployment section there, they're using a percentage of 0.039%. And that's an increase over last year.
Disability 0.39%.
Unemployment is 0.269. Oh, I'm sorry, 0.269. And that's based on...
That was based on our history from 2011.
Was that the percentage thing that you were asking?
That's what I asked, if they on a reimbursement basis or on a percentage, because the percentage is higher than 2.69, and the reimbursement basis is they don't pay unless they get a bill that when somebody collects it. So I asked, which way do they handle it? Kevin's going to look up and let us know.
Yeah, that's something I do have to research. I mean, I can't, if I keep talking on the subject, I'll make something up.
That's fine. And then if you are on a reimbursement basis, if they do tell you that you're on a reimbursement basis, I want to know if you're getting your funds that you don't submit to the state. I want to know if you're getting them into your trust fund.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have another question, too. This goes along the lines of the capital expense for the SUV and the fuel. Patrol miles-wise, the borough and township are pretty different. Can you elaborate mileage-wise? I mean, my concern is the vehicles are not being used as much. I mean, they're patrolling in the borough, but the borough is, again, 2 square miles. Okay, township is a lot bigger.
Yeah,
you got to keep that into effect, and I'm kind of wondering that myself.
That's an operational question. I don't know that we track miles for the borough versus the township, but I think...
Right. Well, I think on the police agreement they have... On the monthly reports, they have a mileage, I think. Don't they patrol mileage, I think?
It's an overall number.
Overall number for both.
There's no way.
Okay.
It's 50%.
Right.
We pay 50%.
Right, I understand that.
And the other thing you got to look at, too, is we run a lot more calls in the borough, so they have the idling time.
Right.
So it's...
I just didn't know if that was split fairly. I know it was supposed to be 50%. It is 50%, but I just questioned that.
Are you going to take health insurance, or do you have your own plan?
We have our own plan. The medical was based, I took a look at our actual activity for 2011 and then spoke to our insurer to find out what kind of rate increases that we could expect for 2012. The contract is renegotiated or reset on June 1st,
And having done some of the history, they explained that that their experience over the last couple of months is that the medical was going up about 17.5% between 16 and 19% versus the prior year, and the medical was going to be increasing between 7 and 9%.
But he's self-insured when you're paying your own bills, and he's self-insured you're paying premiums every month.
We're paying premiums every month. So, do you have any other questions, or should we? Do you want me to walk you through this, or how would you like to proceed?
I have more questions, but if you want to go through, I'll hold it.
What I'll do is I'll hit on the high points. Moving from the crossing guard, I'm looking at page 2 right now.
Yeah, that's your copy for Councilman Boyle.
Of course.
He just came in, so. I'm sorry, Deputy Mayor Boyle.
Oh, yeah, you're in the meeting now. Can we make that motion? Have the Deputy Mayor assume the meeting.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Okay, well, you have voted 3-2. Patrick, you're in charge.
Thank you, Councilman.
You're welcome.
Okay, just hitting on the highlights, I mentioned the police salaries. The SSI, Medicare unemployment disability, is basically rate-driven. We just touched on the medical. I just responded to Natasha's question. The police pension is based on the actual figures that we received. We're seeing a reduction year over year for our police pension. The secretaries are on an independent plan through the through the administration. In reevaluating that, the 2012 number should be lower, probably by about 10%, and I will look into that for you. Currently standing at about $5,784. That should come down a couple hundred dollars. Overtime is up about 9% versus the prior year. There are two factors that are driving this. One is the 4% increase in the salary base. The other is recent history. We basically ran through our overtime budget from last year, so we're adding a little cushion here. And those are really the largest components that are driving that increase for the police salary, the $69,000. Looking at the all other expenses, these are basically basic operational expenses, which are running flat last year. If you take a look at the lower right-hand corner, this is just a catch-all for a number of different expenses. We're basically going down by $194,000. I think the most important thing to note on this one page, though, is our fuel expenses, which we've increased dramatically by about 25%. We did overrun our budget from last year. We're also anticipating higher fuel prices, which accounts for the increase in the fuel from 31,000 in 2011 to the 39,500 that you see there. And that's it in a nutshell.
What are the air cards? It was zero last year and 10,000 this year.
Yeah.
I should mention that our reporting isn't as tight in terms of the lines, and there are some expenses that are over, others that are under. But to answer your question, there are two things in that line. One is the cell phones themselves, and air cards, I believe, for software. Tom, you mentioned, tell me about the air
cards. The MDTs, or the mobile data terminals, and the police cars, all the patrol cars have them. They allow us to run lookups, people's licenses, and then we also receive call data from the communication center.
And that was 20,000 a year?
No, it's, there's one in every car, and it's like $40 or $50 a month per air card for the service.
And there are also some other expenses there.
How many cars do you
have? That have air cards in them, around 20, I'm not sure.
Okay, so that's 1,000. That's $12,000 a year. We're getting stuck with a $10,000.
That's also
the cell phones too.
How much are your cell phones?
$25 per man per
month.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's important to note that there's some expense classification issues in the way this is getting reported. What I'm saying is sometimes the reporting wasn't very clean. For example, if you take a look about two thirds of the way down on page 2. Take a look at miscellaneous expenses, and equipment communications. We're actually reducing that by $6,350, and then for equipment communications, equipment is down by $2,650. Again,
no, it's like a wash. Yeah,
yeah, it's a wash. It's mm-hmm. left pocket, right pocket.
Okay.
So there's some noise between the lines, if you will. Again, I think the critical thing to take a look at is that we're trying to keep our overall expenses under control, which is why they're virtually flat to the prior year.
Mm-hmm. I just one item here, and just if you could just clarify what is the stipends? What is that?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I believe it's we pay stipends of $1,250 to some of our officers for things like for canine training, EMT.
Officers, that's right.
If I can remind the borough council of several things, and this is the last year of the police contract, so next year some things will take place automatically by law. One is the 1.5% paid towards health benefits and the 2% cap on raises. Unfortunately, the township and the borough have been under contract to the police department. And this is the overall driving factor of the increase in the budget, which we have no control over. The rest of the budget, all the other things, we've kept completely flat.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we're looking into, and I want you to know, that we are looking very hard at the fuel costs in the township. We're looking at equipping the vehicles with something that will turn them, set them off and turn them back on when they're out on the job. And Kevin and I are also exploring an above-ground fueling station at our township administration building where we will hope that will cut costs of our fuel. So we are taking a proactive approach to our highest line item outside of our salaries.
How many vehicles did we buy for $36,000?
For $36,000, that's a portion of the overall vehicle purchase. The total vehicle purchase is $57,000. Of that, four vehicles are for renewals of existing leases on cars that have been in our fleet for a couple of years. We're adding one new car.
Can I stop? You said a total of $57,000?
That's all in. You know, there's a portion between...
this is 36.
Four more than half.
Well, a portion is... You know, this is just looking at the borough and the township portion. But to answer your question, I mean, if you take a look at the fleet overall, we're basically renewing the leases on four cars. We are taking on the lease for one new car, and we are purchasing a separate vehicle, an SUV.
Are you purchasing the police vehicle for the improvement authority, or for the private company?
We do this through Ford Credits. It's done privately.
Through a state contractor.
One other thing, the CPI, or as was mentioned earlier, are the police salaries in the contract, present contract, which is up this year, is based on cost of living, CPI plus 1%. This year, the CPI came out at 3%, which is the highest we've seen in years. And we started doing this when police were getting 5, 6, 7% raises. We started doing this a number of years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, to get them on the CPI number. It's now at the point where, and I can't say too much because I got to negotiate the new contract with this guy standing here, but one of the ideas would be to get rid of that 1% and go strictly with the CPI, because it seems now that inflation is starting to hit us. So that will result in whatever happens next year in the contracts.
I have one question that is not on the pages, but we had two full years, 2010 and 2011, and we're going into the third year. Now, do you have the results of operations for 2010 to see exactly what was funded versus what was paid and what was left over?
I don't have the full analysis on that.
Do you think we can get something like that?
I think if we were to do that, it would, in my view, this is my own working hypothesis, is that we would have to take a more holistic view of what really cost, what it's costing us to run the police operation. My working hypothesis is that we are not being compensated for 100% of what it costs to run the police department. And if we were to go through that exercise, that's something I think we would have to consider in the spirit of a shared services agreement.
But if I look in your budget where it says police line item, and it will say, you know, $1 million budgeted, will it say 900 expended and 100,000 left over, or will it say entire amount is expended?
Most will be expended. I don't have that number, those numbers at my fingertips.
And if there's anything left over, then do we get a portion back?
Sounds fair to me.
If there is, that's the way the contract wrote. The reads, that's correct. If there is.
So every year you spend exactly what you budget for so far? I guess that.
We're over budget on a number of things, starting with fuel. The JIF, I just got numbers yesterday from our insurer on what the JIF was for 2011. I think you're going to find that there are offsetting expenses to some of the savings that we have in certain lines.
So are you ever going to do the 2010 analysis just to see where you stand?
I think if we do, my approach would be to take a look at all the expenses. Having a lot of experience in shared services at the corporate level, what we call transfer pricing, having done business integrations, acquisition of smaller companies, there are a number of expenses that I don't think are really taken into account here. Using that discipline, I think we could spend a lot of time and find out that it's a zero-sum game. If you feel strongly about it, it's something I'll entertain and I'll speak to our council about, but my view is that, again, it's a zero-sum game.
But for budgeting purposes, you don't know what you spend, and you don't know what you have left over. Is that what you don't have the mechanism
we have
to push a button on a computer and say, this is what we budgeted, this is what we spent, this is where we're over, or this is where we're safe. You don't have that capability in the country?
We have the capability for certain lines, not 100% of them. For example, let's talk about three components of how we do the reporting on that. One is that there are some lines that are very clear in terms of the police budget and what the actual expenses are. There are other expenses, and for example, in our benefits, where it's not as clean because we have, I'd have to do a separate analysis on each individual employee, what the cost was, and I have to break that out. It's a time-consuming exercise.
But you wouldn't want to know that for your own benefit?
Pardon?
You wouldn't want to know that for your own benefit?
We do. I take a look at the budget for this exercise. I take a look at the overall township, and I haven't looked at the individual components.
All right.
Can we go back to the benefits? Because now, what you said actually confused me. Because I asked you earlier if you pay premium per employee, and you said you're on a premium basis.
Yeah.
But now it makes it sound like you're actually paying actual claims based on the employees. Attendance of the doctor's office. Are you self-insured,
or you have a third-party company? We actually do both.
Okay. So
the
police officers have an option to choose which way they go, or is it like per union
based? No. Basically, the way we counted health insurance, I guess the overall cost per employee is around, what, $11,000? On average.
Person?
For person or for family?
Well,
based on the family.
And then we self-insure a large portion of that. In other words, they have no co-pays, they have no out-of-pocket expenses.
Is it self-insured
with
like a stop loss?
They have flex cards where they picks up their co-pay and their deductibles, both. So that's the self-insure part.
Mrs. Sloan, would you like to ask a question?
I just want to state that when I
talk around town, which is the main question is, how much money are we saving, or how much did it cost us to lose our police department? That's the statement around town. We lost our police department. And people think that when we hear the traffic and the, or the, I think it when I hear somebody go 50 miles an hour down Grand Avenue. I mean, that's just something that, but nobody knows what we've saved or lost. Nobody. Is that what you're telling us?
No, I think the, well,
I mean, if General Motors runs a division and they put it into another, they know to the penny what it's going to cost and effect. That's what the question is around town. Did we save money or did we lose money? Period. End of conversation.
The original analysis, from what I understood, to consolidate the borough and the township took place three years ago, and as a result, there were savings in salaries that are being realized today. I was not involved in any of that original analysis.
But can we answer the public's question? That's my only. Can we say, are we losing money?
It would be the borough council, it would be your
but we don't
place
know.
To say you're saving money. I mean, we can't.
You have to go back and say, okay, we started this, I forget what year it was, I'll just say 2008. You're going to have to say, okay, 2008 it was this much. You're going to have to reconstruct how much the budget was all the way up to this year to see what it would cost you and then compare it. I know in the township, and we're assuming we're spending this evenly 50-50, you have to make that assumption, we are saving quite a bit of money. But I know the borough has to save quite a bit.
The
big savings the first year.
The people don't know this. The people don't know.
We started at a base of $1.6 million, and we're at $2.2 million now over a five-year period. That's an increase of roughly $125,000 a year.
But how much did your... How much did your budget drop from 2008 to 2009?
Yeah, actually, they estimated for 2009, they estimated if we had kept the police all year in 2009, it would have been $1,981,268. And now, that's if we paid the whole year in 2009. And now this year, our budget is, with the crossing guards, $2.2 million. So...
Went from 1.9 to 2.2 over a five-year period. So,
and if you subtract the crossing guard,
three a period. Yeah. So, it's about
$258,000
a year.
No, it was a good deal for both
towns.
I don't think there's any question about that. You
know,
you just have to go back.
So, would it go up about what? You know.
I would like to see that, though, what was spent, what you saved, and, you know, listen, you don't have to do it by line item.
Mm-hmm.
This was your budget. Your budget was $4.2 million last year. How much of that $4.2 million did you spend? $4.2 million? $4.0 million? That's what I would like to see.
The gasoline, I know you listed it here as a 50-50, but in your budget, do you have gasoline in your police budget, or is it outside as a utility?
The police fuel budget appeared in two separate lines. For the purposes of the 2012 budget, I consolidated that.
But it's not within the police budget, it's outside of the police budget.
That's right. I would have to get to the point where we take a look at the actual expenses.
No.
I would have to reclassify a lot of expenses. You would think it's a simple thing, but I would have to do some very detailed analysis because I'm not convinced that all the expenses are as perfect as they need to be, but it can be done.
With a statement like that, though, listen, I'm just an average guy. You're the money guy. With a statement like that, that does not make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, understanding one thing, Kevin's only been with us a couple of months. So
I understand.
Trying to dig into the books and find out what was going on before.
I think Mr. Higgins
is not up, he's not up to speed 100%. There's a lot of things that we have asked him to do.
All right, put yourself in my position there.
I agree with
that.
You're
asking us to vote on something that we don't have all the information on. I can't do that.
I think the point is he's trying to make, how do we know there's not some other type of fueling involved with the police fueling, with DPW truck, that we could be paying half of, but we don't know.
Well,
there's
yeah,
no records kept or
yeah,
it's not different.
Can I, yeah. I get the feeling, okay, from things that are being said here, that it appears that we're making money, that the town's just making money.
No, not at all.
Let me
say
this.
We're looking for accountability,
There's a very close accounting. For instance, the DPW and the police is kept, it's done by cards. We fuel up at the Sunoco station. There's police cards, there's DPW cards, there's code of construction cards. There's no way, virtually, unless one of my DPW guys, well, he can't. Do this, by the way, because it's coded.
Would you recommend your council voting, or your committee voting on a budget where the information is cloudy?
I think
a yes or no question, sir.
I disagree with what you're saying. I don't think it's cloudy. I think the numbers are very good. I don't think it's cloudy, personally.
Can I just pick up
sure.
I think there's two different issues. First, there's the budget, and, you know, based on Kevin's analysis or whatever it is he's getting, that will be the 2012 budget. Now, the other issue is, I would love to know, and, you know, it's up to you guys, is what exactly we paid in 2010, I know, but what exactly did it cost them to run the 50% of their department? So we know that we've given you $2.2 million, and it cost you $2.3 million, so they actually lost, you know, the money.
I understand that, and that's what I'm...
And the reason I'm asking for 2010 versus 2011, because every budget takes a two-year cycle. So the 2010, is there any left over, went into the fund balance. 2011 books are still open, and they will be open because there's still bills coming in, there's uniform purchases, that you know, bills are late, and they could be paid for entire 2012. So the analysis of 2011 is really irrelevant because it's not a complete picture until December of 2012. But analysis 2010 is relevant right now.
Okay. And then we could go to your question. We could follow a trend and see if we are saving the money.
That's just a public question.
And Mr. DeBoer, just to rebut what you said, I'm not looking to make sure the town's just making money. I'm looking for the best interest from borough's taxpayers. That's what I'm looking for. Not Sue's making money. I'm making sure the accountability is correct and we're paying our fair share. That's bottom line.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Burke Township is making money. I'm looking for that, okay. But
I appreciate that.
I just wanted to make
you
clear
that
in here
right
now.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No problem.
And I'm truthful, I've never heard from the people in the borough. They don't say they're making. Nobody says that. They're not questioning just what did we save. And if we didn't save...
The only way that you can do that is, and I heard the number for the 2009.
We don't know what it would have been for 2009.
$1.9 million over the 1.6, so you save $300,000 over that one-year period, if I'm reading that right. Mm-hmm. But what you'd have to do is take that number that you anticipated that year that you didn't pay and just say, okay, each year it probably costs us another 5% on that budget, and add the 5% and bring us up to 2012 and compare it this number. That's the only way you can do it, because
I suggest that we get it out in the public as
those numbers are skewed. And the reason why those numbers are skewed is that when we initially signed the agreement, we didn't include the $130,000 for the crossing.
That's correct.
And those numbers are skewed. So we didn't save as much as we thought we did.
Yeah, because your budget included the crossing guards at that 1.9.
That was 1.7.
And the other thing that would have to be looked at, I don't know if at that time your police had a contract at the time, and what they were going to get in raises, and you have to take a look at that. And I mean, who would know?
We did budget for that.
Pardon?
When they left there because of the raises, because
you have to extrapolate that number out to the current year.
Right, you have to take into consideration what contract you had with the police department when they left, and I mean, if that would have run out in time up to this date, I mean, who can answer what the borough council would have given for raise? That would have been totally up to the borough council if they were still borough police officers. So I mean, I don't know if that.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. It's a common question around town.
Mm-hmm.
Did we save any money?
Yes.
Everything is, did we save money?
Yes.
Well, nobody knows.
Well, some of the benefits of a shared service don't have to be monetary either.
And not only that, I still maintain that you have not realized all of the savings yet. I mean, you can't only look in here now. You got to project further down. I mean, was it a 7-year agreement?
Yes.
You have to look over the 7 years of the agreement. Will there be money? Is there money saved and realized by both the township and the borough? Absolutely.
The study that was done shows the money being saved up front. By the time the 7 years comes, we'd have caught up. So there would actually, in this 7 years, no savings.
Yes. But correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Higgins, but it took into account, because Rich and I talked about it, took into account the whole 7 years.
Right.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, the savings were
up front. Was up front.
Yes.
Exactly.
Anybody have anything else they want to throw around? Hey, Ms. Adna.
I just want to know, are they part-time or full-time?
Part-time.
How does a full-time person ever get to collect unemployment? How do they do that? I think that is
really that's a good question.
Because
when I Saturday I'm going to be unemployed. I'm not going to work 24/7. That's very. I can't collect unemployment, but yet they did. I don't understand it.
You're saving stuff to the tune of $27,000. For something that they should have never gotten to begin with, so why change it at all?
Edna, we have an answer over here for you.
There isn't collection guards that are eligible for unemployment versus teachers that take summer off. They're eligible to collect unemployment is because they don't have a guaranteed to return to work contract, and according to the state of unemployment. That's why they're entitled to get unemployment the days they don't work, like winter breaks and summer breaks and everything else. And the only way to get around is to split their pay. It is legal. They are not getting a full unemployment. They are getting an employment that is based on their earnings. And because breaks happen so often that they never get all their claim because they have to have a 20-week base period to collect for 2 years, they never get all that 2-year period because they're always on unemployment, but then they stop collecting, they'll go back to work, they earn a little bit more, their amounts get readjusted, and they go back and collect again.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything pertinent?
When are we gonna have our final numbers for this? Do we know? We're introducing on March.
This is their final number.
These are the final numbers.
Well, this is what the number they're proposing is the final number.
Because we're wrapping up our budget this Saturday, based on these numbers.
Okay.
Let me add my sales experience to this. We're up 4.8%. Is that what the number was? 4.8. You've got a big percentage of that, of course, is the salaries. And they got a 4% raise. That eats into it pretty good. Then you've got medical insurance and your other stuff that really goes up every year by big percentages. That's another percent. And then you throw the crossing guards, the adjustment in there, and it's very easy to justify 4.8%. I think it's really a reasonable number. I was quite surprised it was that low.
I think you can
guarantee that. Do you work on anything?
You said you're going to get 4 new cars and an SUV?
No, no, no. 4 of the cars are renewed leases on existing vehicles. And then there is going to be 1 new car that will be on lease. They were going to purchase an SUV, so we're adding 2 new vehicles to the fleet to replace 8 new vehicles.
You've got 1 lease that 1 vehicle expires, I believe, in September. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy.
Last year, 2.
And then 2 more. This is the last year on 2 others.
Last year on 2, and the second year on 2, and just 2 more.
How many SUVs do you have?
Patrol? Now we have 2.
How many total SUVs do you have?
Well, the canine is an SUV, and then
canine guy patrols that, right?
Yeah.
Is that included in your patrol?
But he's the only one signed up because he takes it home because he gets called out with the dog.
Right.
So, 2 available for patrol on Mark. We have 2. And then there's 2 detectives that have.
Two detectives.
Absolutely.
And the chief's car. chief required to have a SUV? You have 27 vehicles, you said, right?
No.
How many you have?
27, no.
I thought you said 27.
No, I think there's 20, I'm not 100% sure.
How many vehicles?
Some of that was, some of them were used only for road jobs. Again, we had mentioned earlier about trying to save, there's a device in the car that, you can shut the car off, run off the batteries with the lights flashing on a road job.
I can provide.
And when the battery goes down, the car automatically starts up again, charges the battery, when that's charged, it shuts down again, so. But there's certain cars, because of high mileage, are only used on the road. As we get new cars, some of those end up going on auction. A lot of times, when the county runs their auction, to get rid of someone over there.
Okay, well, this is my thing here. We're talking about five SUVs right now that's currently in your fleet. And we're talking about high gas bill. Wouldn't we want to conserve on the fuel bill? And wouldn't it be more economical?
The K-9 guy gets called. He needs a fuel job because he goes up road.
Okay.
He gets called out all weather.
I'm not talking about getting rid of anything that you already have. What I'm talking about is the new one. That'll put you at six, right?
Well, what we're going to be replacing the one SUV with the new one because it's an older SUV that
one's going out, sir.
What year is it? How many miles?
I can provide you with a list.
Okay.
If you would, please. We have that for you. I don't have it with me tonight.
I'm just trying to think of, listen,
I believe it's
save money on the cost of the car.
I really don't know. I can provide you with a list.
And then when it goes out to auction, we get a part of the sale?
Right.
Is that how that works then? When you sell these old vehicles at the auction?
No, we would go back in the general fund.
Go back?
I would think.
I don't think that's the way. I mean, we had to purchase equipment from the borough when we merged. I don't think there's anything in there about that. I don't know.
I'm just asking. I wasn't part of the agreement either.
What's that?
I think we originally.
If they have an auction and sell, who gets all the money from the sale?
Well, it goes back into their general
fund. Okay.
But usually what happens is those vehicles get recycled and they're given to.
Like donate to the fire department or something for a crash thing?
Well, look, if the borough wants them and you recently gave you one for a dollar, you can have them back. You can have them. No problem. We'd rather do that than auction them off.
No, I don't know. I'm asking, you know, I wasn't part of the agreement.
Well, some of the cars that you did receive, like there were a couple from the Royal, whatever, that were leaked, because I know you hadn't bought any cars at that point. There was some question as to what you were going to do with your fleet. And so we got some cars that really should have been gotten rid of when we took them over. They were kind of useless to anybody at the time. But you were in a position where you needed a few new cars at that point in the borough.
I think we spent like 13, 14 grand to repair and get them what we consider road worthy for our department. I mean, I don't know the borough department over there.
Now, the percentage of the 1.27 for the crossing guard, is that what they got in the raid? 1.27%? Is that what the raid was?
Making before, that number was partly to offset the fact that they weren't getting any more unemployment.
Okay.
It still put them at, you know, 20 cents an hour or less that they were supposed to get back at the point when the township took over the police department.
So what did they
get? And everybody, and the other thing is they were all on a different rate. Right now, all of the crossing guards are on the same rate. They were spread all over the map before.
They're
all making the same rate, except for new hirees or the substitutes are locked in at a lower rate.
I agree. That was an issue. But what was the rate that they got, percentage, for a figure?
You know, somewhere around 9%. I think they were in the 13 range, and they're up at, well, I know right now it's $14. I don't know what
9%.
I have no idea what they were making before. It's $14.50 right now.
Do we take their what they made us here moving here at 3 o'clock?
Yeah,
we
get
the
9%.
I don't know how much time.
That's not a lot of money here now. That's not. $14.50 is not a lot of money anymore.
Anything else, Dave?
We buy a loaf of bread for $10.
Does anybody else have anything to talk to the township reps?
Yeah,
No.
No? So bottom line, we're looking at is $2,239,649 not to exceed. Are we looking at that fuel?
Pardon?
Were we looking at the fuel? I thought I might have heard somebody
say. The fuel number is good.
The fuel number is good?
The fuel number is good.
$2,239,649 not to exceed.
Well, here's where I'm going to make an adjustment.
Okay.
I'm going to take out $4,729 from the crossing guard salaries. I did a person-by-person reconciliation today, so my number of $123,931 is overstated, so I'm going to adjust that.
Okay.
I'm going to adjust the pension for the secretaries down. By $820, but it's something.
What about crossing guard pension? This is based on income.
That's down 4% from last year, which I think is reasonable. I think that's about right. So I'm okay with that number.
I'll mention something else. You made a statement, and you could be correct in how much for how the contract reads. You said not to exceed number. Which is fine. If it exceeds, we need it, which we did exceed last year. I don't think we've asked you for anything back. But you're saying, well, if it's, we don't spend all that money, then you want some money back. So right now, it's certainly a one-way contract in favor of the borough, if that's true. If we're over, we need it. If we're under, we give it to you.
No, you don't give it off to us. You split it with us.
Adjusting for the crossing guard salary and a secretary's pension, I would reduce the $2,239 by an amount of $5,549. So the new number would be
$2,234,100.
I will. Okay.
Well, this is, we haven't voted on this, so we're going to discuss this further, I hope, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we're not voting on anything.
Okay. So please don't take this as an acceptance. So.
No, that's fine.
Is this budget approved by the council?
They said something about Saturday.
By your township council?
We're going through the budget process as well.
Our final budget should be our final budget is Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
You're going to take a vote today and then once you do budget, have another thing we are?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm part of hearing.
Are they having the same thing we are with budget workshops?
Yes.
And are they throwing up any hands about anything? Or?
Are they what?
Are they saying no about anything?
Our previous this should be just a fine tune in our final budget. We've been through the whole thing. We know exactly where we're at. And assuming that these numbers are right, we should wrap up on Saturday.
The township pretty much is under, except for the contracts of the police and the DPW.
Little numbers.
Our numbers are flat. Keep our numbers flat.
In the past 2 years, budget increases on the operating expenses.
These guys
are getting almost zero. Last year,
you don't get
nobody got a raise on any budgets, except for the size.
Well, I want to...
The employees didn't get a raise except for the contract people.
Thank the mayor, the administrator, DeBoer, CFO, Kevin, and Lieutenant. Really appreciate coming out here and talking to us tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for answering the questions.
Thank you,
Justin.
Thank you. Oh, I'll take the microphone with you.
Never.
Thank
never.
You very much. Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, my fingers.
Thank you.
Finally,
nice to meet you.
Uh-oh. We'll get you a Chevy, man. No problem.
Thank you for answering the question.
That's cool. Yeah, right. Suburban.
Thank you, Mayor, for coming, too.
What is that?
I know.
That this year?
No.
Thank you.
Here, but he's going to the state basketball game. Tonight,
okay.
So he wanted to bring the audience to see his
practice. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Higgins made a motion to go take a 5 minute break.
Second.
Oh, yes.
No, yeah. I was trying to look out for the best interest of our guys.